And at Barktoberfest, we now say hi to Davey, who is probably getting his leg humped right as we speak.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Rick Arnett.
Hey, Corby.
Hey, Kooby.
Hi, Craig.
That's an A-lister right there that you hear.
Hey.
A headline.
So, yeah, we're out here at Barktoberfest till you're on the air till 1, right?
Yeah, we go till 1:05, and then the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD.
Look at that. Extended orphanage.
The NASCAR CD. Okay, Rick, I heard your tease, but I haven't had a chance to listen. Something that you gave up after 33 years. Is it dipping?
No.
What is it?
Anal?
You finally gave up anal?
Just because you're at a dog park.
But sex?
What is it? No. What did you give up?
I gave up my gym membership.
Why?
Because I don't need it anymore.
What do you do at home? You have like a gym and... Oh. Is this a money thing? You bought all your weight equipment? You bought a Bowflex?
No, I didn't do that. But
he's got a kettlebell and some stretchy
weight. Why don't you guys just
straps.
Answer for me? Why don't you guys just answer for me? You don't just say, Rick, did you do this? Did you just... I don't even need a response.
Are you trading like Rocky did in Rocky IV, where he has to like
throw
just,
boulders?
Yeah,
it's exactly what I'm doing.
20,000 pounds of rocks,
picking up blocks of ice,
chopping
wood,
big old tractor tires.
Yeah, and I'm chopping wood. I'm doing
all right,
all
what'd
that.
You do?
That's exactly what I did.
What'd you buy?
I quit the membership, and I'm doing everything in the house because it's easier, quicker, and I can do as good a workout at home as I can at the gym.
So what is your cardio preference?
It saves me time.
Yeah, what do you have a machine at home, like a elliptical or something?
No, I hate those things. I didn't use those at the gym. What? I do like that burst training where you might do...
run in place like
jump,
and stuff?
Yeah, those jump squats, and you do for like 30 seconds.
I don't know
how
you do that.
30 seconds. It's quicker.
Rick is so taut.
Yeah, I don't know how, you know, you're like crank thin, you know, like it seems like no matter what you eat and all that, you stay really lean.
It's genes, buddy.
And boy, he does eat.
Yeah, I do eat. My parents are really thin. I'd probably be the biggest lard butt in the world if I didn't have them.
So you don't cycle, you don't jog. All you do is the burst training.
Yeah, because I'm not going to be a world-class marathoner, and as long as
you get
your heart rate up, it doesn't matter how you do it, right? Allegedly?
I
walk the dogs.
So I just want to know,
changing
subjects, why are we blessed with an A-lister today?
Yeah, what's with you?
Well, it's Barktoberfest, and you know we all come out here, and so
yeah, they're all required to make appearances.
Yeah, we get. I mean, like right now, I'm making like $70 a minute. So
yeah, the meter's running.
Yeah,
wow.
And Danny got caught in traffic. I avoided it, but Danny got stuck. I don't know if there was a wreck or what. But.
Yeah, there was. I talked to him earlier. He said there was a wreck. He was by Cockrell Hill.
Yeah, the 30 Canyon. Like, if you're going to come out here from
Dallas... He was mad at you because you didn't tell him.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know where he was.
Oh.
But if you're coming from, like, 75, if you're coming from north of downtown, go the 35 way to 30, not the 45 way to 30. Because that downtown canyon on the south side of downtown is dead stop.
You got that, Rosengarden?
Yeah,
so
on my way.
Who's picking up the dog poopy today?
Well, actually, there's a company out here called Duty Bud or Go Duty.
Duty
there's
Bud
Daniel.
Or Bud. Bug.
I think you're supposed to as
oh,
a...
cool. Snacks.
Those are
Duty
dog bones.
Oh. Yeah, dog biscuits.
Freaking starving, man.
You didn't have to play it out like...
Yeah, it's radio. Yeah. You didn't have to act.
Well, there's people here.
You're like the Laurence Olivier dog treat faker.
Thank you.
But I think as a responsible dog owner, you're supposed to pick up after your own pet.
Yeah, you really are. And I think they have plenty of like those hand...
The little
hand
duty bags.
Yeah, hand manures.
They have golf gloves there.
Right. And I think that also is kind of a, you know, you have carte blanche now as a human to just do that.
As long as you pick it up.
Pick your own up.
By the way, Danny was going about to eat a dog biscuit. My kid and I did an experiment way back when.
I remember this.
We tasted three different dogs because you got these little dog biscuit, and they have liver flavor, they have chicken, and they have beef.
And you
so
ate.
We tried each one, and you couldn't tell the difference. So it's bogus. Poor dogs are getting kind of hosed on that deal.
But didn't you say you almost vomited? It was so bad.
Yeah, it was terrible. I was thinking. Now I realized this. I did some research. Dogs allegedly have no taste buds.
Dude, I don't believe that. Is it just the smell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So you could pretty much feed them anything, and I was bummed that.
Well, they do eat crap.
Like...
You know
yeah,
what?
They do.
All right, so.
Look at this. Because that smells delicious.
Three-legged dog right there.
Dog's here every year. You know, I for a skit back in my younger days, I ate some Alpo.
I can't do that.
That wet-ass dog food? Yeah.
Like from a can?
The canned dog food.
Why?
You literally ate it?
Yeah.
That least,
like, just a spoonful.
How'd that work out?
Dude.
What did it taste like?
It tasted like cold refried beans, like opening up a can of Old El Paso and throwing a spoon in there and eating
it. You're going to make me vomit.
That is awful.
I've eaten kibbles. That tasted like...
Kibbles is different
than that.
Kibbles tasted like... Now, kibbles tasted like Play-Doh.
Play-Doh.
Why are you eating so many dog foods?
Why are you the only one here who hasn't?
He's giving up his gym membership.
Yeah, giving up my gym membership. And I'm eating.
Rick gave up his gym membership and is on a strict dog food diet.
Dog food diet.
He's
going to
go home
watch,
and grill Gaines Burgers today for lunch.
All right, you guys remember Gaines Burgers?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I haven't tried those.
Wrapped.
Why did they did? Those. You know what? As a kid,
they
I remember
genius.
Thinking,
my dog's going to love this.
These look pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I
bet a lot of kids
I've often thought, I wish that I had a master who portion controlled me and just gave me the same thing every day.
Yeah, and it was like concern, like as like far nice... as my Bassett goes, we're concerned about her weight and we keep her thin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We
I need somebody to ration my food.
You need portion control.
And give me the same little bowl of kibbles every day.
Right. That'd be awesome, right?
You know what I wish? I wish my kids had the same expectations as my dogs, because when I give them food, it's like giving your kid a car.
Yeah,
excited
every day. The fact that your dogs are so appreciative of being walked, like you grab the leash and the dogs look at you like vacation,
like you're going to Paris.
I'm off for 3 days, you know. Yes,
I'm going to Hawaii.
Right. That and then feeding them. It's like it'd be so great if your kids did have the same appreciation for the simple things, or
your wife.
Well, yeah. Let's not bring that up. Or just you in general, right? I mean, just...
I don't know. When I take my wife for a walk, she's very appreciative.
Although, yeah, you leash her up.
Yeah, leash her up.
S&M.
Come on,
shot
honey.
My leather masters.
Yeah. Rick's like walking her shirtless and with a bikini and a machine mask,
she's
you know?
She's rubbing her hindquarters on the grass.
Gross.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick up.
I got to get rid of these worms, Rick.
I don't think I'd pick up after her, though.
Although, is that a deal breaker? Like,
what if your wife has worms?
Yeah, and she gets rid of them by rubbing her ass, like dragging her ass.
There's
on your carpet. On your carpet.
Where's children?
There's one.
Yeah, be careful, guys.
She All right, puppies, we're late, but thank
you. Looks at least eight.
Thank you, T-Box, for mixing and talking about dogs with us.
Well, we're late, but we're not going to get in trouble. We got an A-lister.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We have the Corby exemption now.
Yeah, Corby doesn't go to jail card. So
right.
Good job. Thanks, Corby.
Okay, boys. We'll see ya.
All right. The Ticket Barktoberfest continuing coverage continues on the Ticket.
Continuing.
It continues
with
on.
Friends.
Now.
Huh? Did you hear how you were born? Two boxcars crashed together and you popped out of the hobo's butt.
It is 10:21 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
I haven't eaten in like a week.
This is the Orphanage, joined by Corby Davidson.
We like to call him Cookie Davidson.
Yes, and we're at Barktoberfest. And Barktoberfest is an annual tradition. It's at the Fort Wolf Dog Park which is just off I-30 at Beach Street, almost to downtown.
It's better than your other nickname, Cookie.
The college nickname?
Well, that one.
Yeah. Although I did tell the... I had a moment of clarity last night when I retold the Cobby story.
You had a moment of clarity last night?
Yeah, how was that possible?
Very vague, but yeah, I did.
Fleeting.
I did.
By the way, Barktoberfest is brought to you by Man's Best Friend, Taylor's Gift, and Cadillac Escalade.
Oh, sweet.
And we're on the air until 1 today. Barktoberfest goes until 2, and lots of, well, pretty much everybody except for Norm, I think, and Gordon will be out here today from the ticket weekday lineup.
Why isn't Gordon coming out?
He's in New York. He went on that press junket for that Steve Martin, Jack Black, Owen Wilson movie.
Does he still do TV stuff?
Yeah, just very spotty, very occasionally.
And they, okay, this is what I don't get. Like, I don't know anybody who watches the news anymore.
Right.
You know?
Like local news?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't know anybody.
Mm-mm.
I think it's an old man's
yeah.
game.
Old people watch it.
It's like the soap opera.
But they have enough money to, like, ship people out, you know, to do stuff.
I'm
like,
sure
like
press junkets pay for travel, don't they? Because they...
Still?
I don't know.
In today's economy?
I don't know. You're asking me questions that I don't know the answer
so
to.
So, wait. The people that are promoting the film will fly interviewers to...
That's what Dave's saying. Dave promised me that earlier today.
No, I surmised that.
Well, Gordon's not paying for it, is he?
No.
Oh, God, no.
The
no.
ticket's definitely not
no.
paying for
no.
it.
It's either on the studio or on
okay,
Channel 8.
But the deal is, the press junket, though, like, I'm going to confess.
Now, describe what the junket is.
What it is, like, I went to,
people that
I can't even
know.
Remember them. I've been to so many of them, I can't remember the one I went to.
Bless.
Like me and Fenway.
Yeah. Your casual trips to Fenway.
Yeah.
You know, Danny just goes there for, like, Dollar Dog Day at Fenway, just like... I'm going tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. He'll catch a flight to catch like the last three innings of a game at Fenway.
Mm-hmm. I'll like leave to go get smokes and just decide I'm going to go to Fenway. Come back in like 3 days.
No. So those junkets, they're really strange because you think like yeah, they sound like really extravagant and luxurious and everything, but once you get to the actual interview process, it's a cattle call and
yeah.
and you have. Sometimes 3 minutes with these people,
or
4 minutes,
you're like Byron
5 minutes
Allen,
at the most.
And you get 6 minutes.
Yeah, Byron Allen.
He's always doing
How
those.
How does he live?
He has his own show that is based on him replaying, filming the junket.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
it.
But the thing is, like, okay, so if the film companies fly you out there, think of flying somebody from Texas to New York or Texas to L.A. It's $400 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then if they put you up in a hotel, that's another
couple hundred a night.
250, you know. So and they do that for every major market probably. And there's probably three or four different outlets from each market that they do that for.
Right.
And you
they're
get,
probably running a couple hundred press people
yeah.
through the
oh, yeah.
cattle call.
Yeah, and you get 4 minutes. So he has 4 minutes with three people.
Right, all
Luke,
at once.
Luke or Owen Wilson, Jack Black and Steve Martin.
Right.
Four. Okay, so you're sitting there, you're like, man, with each one of them, you would like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
With three of them, you get 4 minutes, which means you get one question per guy.
Well, he did the one with, who was the guy that he picked? It was Zach Galifianakis that he kind of threw off his game a little bit. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah.
Where I heard it. I didn't see it.
He zacked
yeah.
Zach Galifianakis, and he probably worked in about 5 or 6 questions, but they were pretty quick.
Yeah, but
pretty
you have three people.
But you're interviewing them all at once?
Oh,
my God.
So it's
yeah,
like,
that's going
to
be a cluster.
Steve Martin, I really want to talk. Wait, Jack Black. I love Tenacious D. Oh, Owen Wilson. We've had sex with the same women.
What?
I bet they have.
Is there a chance that you have 6 degrees of penis separation with Owen Wilson? There's no doubt.
There's zero chance that I have.
Owen Wilson.
Dude.
6 degrees?
Yes. I guarantee. You,
yeah.
There is a 100% chance.
So what are you saying?
So you're saying that I have Owen Wilson's herpes?
Yes. Yes. I guarantee you. Like, I know, there's no doubt.
Does it look different than normal herpes?
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure my wife probably had sex with, like a
soccer player?
Yeah, like the burn.
Yeah.
All of the burn.
the back line of the defensive, the Dallas
burn
defense.
She was really into sweepers. And somewhere in there, there's a connection.
Like he, like one of the Byrne made sweet love to some girl that made
they went
sweet,
to Ursuline.
Yeah. That,
yes.
That dated a guy that was on the set on Bottle Rocket.
Right. Yeah.
And then they had gay sex together.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So
no doubt that my connection's with the guy.
Yeah. So your wife has gay Owen Wilson herpes.
Right.
Wait a minute.
My wife has gay Owen Wilson herpes. That's how I'm going to introduce her, like, today at the football game is, have you met my wife?
She has gay Owen Wilson
herpes. She's gay Owen Wilson herpes. I'm sorry, what?
Never mind.
Don't shake her hand too hard.
You listen to the ticket, right?
You don't have any open wounds on your hand, do you?
You're about to. All right. It's 10:27 on the radio, and we're going to eat pizza.
Owen Wilson.
Come back next. Oh, man.
What else? Saturday.
Excuse me. Don't Jesus me.
That's right. It's 10:35 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. This is The Orphanage with special guest Corby Davidson.
Yes, The Orphanage, the show that Jesus hates.
And Jesus. We're live at Barktoberfest at the Fort Wolf Dog Park just off I-30 at Beach Street.
We already got yelled at.
Barktoberfest is brought to you by Man's Best Friend, Taylor's Gift, and Cadillac Escalade. And coming up in an hour is Canine Direction. Is that a band?
Canine what?
Is there a website? Does it say anything about Taylor's Gift as far as a website? You know that is, don't you?
That's Taylor's Gift. No.
Nothing?
No.
Uh-huh. That's Todd Storch. You remember Todd?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's his daughter that passed away. Yeah,
yeah,
so that's Taylor.
Well, go to theticket.com and click on Barktoberfest. Hopefully
there's so much
there.
Linkage and information. Can I read this?
Stupid pet tricks are at noon, by the way. Yes, please read
okay.
that.
Okay. I want to hear this band Canine Erection.
Direction.
Right. Log on now to theticket.com for your chance to win 4 tickets to the State Fair of Texas, September 30th through October 23rd at the Fair Pact in Dallas.
We're going to go to Texas today.
That's a $60 value. How much are tickets, Corby? Like 19?
$16.
Yeah, they're $1,000 a piece this year.
That's amazing.
Well, but if you go on, what is it, Thursdays with a Dr. Pepper can, it's like $2.
Wednesdays with a can of corn. Thursdays with Dr. Pepper.
A can of corn. You have to go out there and actually hit a Texas leaguer over the infield to get in.
That's a can of corn.
Well.
Yeah. So we already got in trouble for.
Okay. This is. I swear to God.
Herpes.
I swear to God. This is like the third time, because there's obviously this is a huge, huge undertaking. This Barktoberfest, and there's. A lot of sponsors, it's all underwritten, and a lot of people are out here trying to flaunt their business, their doggy business, which, understandable. But, having said that, people just know, they're like, they hear that a radio station is sponsoring something.
Right, they think it's Radio Disney.
And it's a big event,
mm-hmm.
and it's a popular radio station, they hear, and like, okay, well, I want to get my business out there. And then suddenly, they're out here, and they're 10 feet away, and the first thing they hear is gay Owen Wilson herpes. And so in the break, a woman comes over and is like, yeah, can you keep that down?
I hear sex talk.
Yeah, that's what it was. I hear sex talk. And look, I'm all for effing and all, but.
No, she didn't say that.
This is an editorial comment.
I'm all for that, but can you just keep that to yourself?
Yeah.
She said to one of our engineers, you obviously don't have children.
And he's like,
and
no,
Wayne's like, I have 11.
I have like 4 kids.
And she was like, well, Jesus would not be happy with you right now.
Is that what she said?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. Well, Jesus is never happy with any of us.
No,
okay?
He's not.
You got that?
Trust me.
He forgives us all, but he effing hates us.
The dirty things that all of you do in the privacy of your own
home.
Yeah,
you don't think he's like, hey, attaboy, attaboy, yeah, yeah, good, good. Keep that in your butt.
Huh?
What?
Going through Kleenex is like a pneumonia victim.
From the age of 12 on.
Yeah.
You're doing great at 60, Reiner. Keep it going.
Hobby. Yeah. Still not proud of you.
Yeah.
buff that end about 28 years ago, but God, no. Good for you.
I guess it.
How long does it take for him to achieve at this point in his life?
I don't know. I think he's pretty virile. He at least acts like he is.
Dude.
Does he have to pop a Viagra before
I think he's like reached some sort of epiphany, sex epiphany.
Yes, he's having a boner rebirth.
I mean, do you remember like when we first started working on that show 12 years ago?
God.
And he was anti-booze, anti-going out,
yep.
Anti-bar. No, anti-anything.
Anything technological, like iPads,
yeah.
iPhones, iPods, any of that stuff.
Yeah, it's a rebirth for him.
Yeah.
And now he's, like, he goes out way more than I ever did.
Yes. Right, he's Mr. Tweeter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got 10 iPads. And
mm-hmm. He's always on the interwebs. He's,
right.
He is lost without being connected 24/7. We were in the meeting one day this past week before you got there, and he was trying to get on his iPad, and he's like, I can't believe it. The 3G's just not working. What are we going to do about this? I'm like, good Lord.
I had my phone stolen a couple weeks ago, and I didn't have a phone for a couple days.
Right.
You know? And, yeah, I mean, you feel weird now without a phone, but...
You get used to it pretty quick.
It wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't bother me that much. And he was like, he goes, you know what? He goes, I would have, because it happened to me about noon when it was stolen. So I came to work with no phone or whatever. And he was like, I wouldn't have come to work. I would have called you guys and said, I'm getting my phone and
yeah,
I'll be there when
I'll
I
miss
get,
the meeting.
I'll be there when I get there. And I was like, it doesn't really bother me that much.
You know what? It's actually, I like it.
It's liberating.
It really is. There was one night where, I can't remember what it was, but I had to be gone for, I went to the Ranger game. It was last...
in Fenway?
Yeah. No, damn it. I'm going to punch you in the testes.
Left your phone on the plane?
Yeah. I went to the last game of the season, last Sunday, last regular season home game. And I remember getting in my car, and I was... still in my neighborhood, and I looked down. I was like, oh crap, I left my phone. And for a minute I thought, should I go back and get it? I'm like, you know what, why do I need it?
Yeah,
why do I need the phone?
You know.
And the whole time I didn't think about it. I wasn't looking at it the whole time. I'm not playing Words with Friends in between innings.
Yeah.
It's just it was nice. And Rick Arnett was talking earlier about how he got rid of his
herpes.
His
gym membership.
Yeah, his gym membership. And how, you know, kind of freeing that was. And I'm telling you, if we got rid of all of these things that we're emboldened to, you know, as much as we love these TV series that we're addicted to, like marijuana cookies, Breaking Bad, if it went away and you got...
All right, here.
Is there a drug-sniffing dog out here?
And you got away from Breaking Bad and all these TV shows, it wouldn't take you but maybe 1 or 2 weeks while you were weaned off of it, and your life would probably improve.
You know, I agree. I think that we're over technologically, luckily,
we're so
devised.
Connected.
Yes, exactly.
With media.
What you said.
Yeah, it's the point where
it's redonkulous.
Okay,
you can't even go to a gym and run on a treadmill without having a TV in front of you.
Like,
you know?
Whenever my kids finally go to bed at night, and you know, I've had sex with my wife for like the 8th time that day, and I'm sitting there on my couch, and I'm finally like by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself...
All sore.
Yeah, totally sore from all the sex.
With a bag of peas on your dong.
Right. God, I love sex. God, I'm good at this.
He's got an aloe vera plant next to him, just rubbing it all over.
But this is what I hate about it, is that I'm like, I turn the TV on,
mm-hmm.
you know, at 10:30 or something like that, and I go to my DVR, and I'm like, all right, what do I need to watch? And then... Like, instinctively, I'll grab my computer half the time and just set it on my lap. And, like, okay, what do I need to look at here? What do I need to go, you know, ESPN or whatever's on, you know, what do I need to look at? And I'm like, have my computer on my lap, my phone's next to me, and the TV's on.
Yeah.
What the?
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. That was close.
What am I doing, though? Seriously.
It's just the...
And then I realize it, and I'm like, I can't throw everything to the side and just, like, relax.
Why are we so obsessed with consuming as much media as possible
at the same time? And that's like kids in their teenagers in their bedrooms with their TV on and their MP3 player
yes.
going,
yeah.
and they're texting and IMing at the same
right.
time
and playing Xbox.
Right.
You know what? You know what? I think it is. It's like the first time that I ever realized that we were over technologically alized.
Was it at Huey's?
At Huey's.
Damn it. Right, with the picture in picture.
Picture in picture.
Right, let's, yeah, set the scene. Maybe we should just take a break and do this
yeah.
next.
All right.
How we became over technological molecularized. Next.
Yeah.
It's 10:53 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. This is The Orphanage with special guest Corby Davidson. Aww. And we're live at Oktoberfest, which is our annual tradition at Fort Worth Dog Park in Fort Worth, just outside of downtown off Beach Street and I-30. And we're here until 1 on the air, and the event goes until 2. And it benefits the Fort Worth Dog Park. And our sponsors are Man's Best Friend, Taylor's Gift, and Cadillac Escalade.
Can I, before we get into our story of over
technologicalization
indulgence... Last night I was over here. I spent the night over here, and it was a Fort Worth Music Festival, which is so cool. Okay, like, it's
I didn't get to go to the actual festival. I had to play
yeah.
The after party.
Oh yeah, and I believe I saw you there.
You did for a minute. Yeah, you did.
Do you remember?
I do. Yeah, I remember way more like Danny walking in and be like, "Hey," and the end. I don't remember so much.
Yeah,
but,
I wasn't there.
Oh man, so. But the music festival itself was right by the Kimball and Will Rogers, you know, where we saw Beck and the Flaming Lips and
yes.
all that.
Was it outdoors?
Yeah, it was outdoor, and it was like, there was like this huge tree-lined area right outside of Will Rogers where they have two stages about
mm-hmm.
100 yards apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gorgeous, and the weather was perfect, and I mean, it was just something that only Fort Worth could pull off. You know, I was out there going, Dallas could never do this. First off, Dallas wouldn't support.
They wouldn't
like
show
it. No.
up and support it. Was it supported at least?
Oh yeah, there was a lot of people out there, and it's today too. And today it's like the Orbins and Telegraph Canyon
yeah.
and Dawes.
Yeah,
and,
Dawes are awesome.
Yeah, so I mean,
man, that's
it
the
made
thing.
Me insane.
I know
it
we live in the worst
insane.
City
culturally.
Culturally,
yeah.
to do stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean Dallas is great, and you know we all have a lot of fun, and I love where you guys live. I don't like where I live. No, I do. Lake Highlands is fine, but it's over here. It's so different, and
yeah.
I was just you know up there, you know, on stage, looking over at the crowd, going, "This is so cool!
Yeah,
so incredibly cool."
And then they had the after party was like six different venues that
yes.
all kind of had a synergetical, logical thing together.
We're making up a lot of words today.
That if you went to the music festival, you just brought your ticket, or you had a stamp or a
yeah.
wristband or something, and it got you into any one of those clubs.
Right.
So they had more of a local flair at the little satellite venues, and that went on until 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I feel bad because, you know, George's band played too, and I just couldn't get in an automobile and head over there. That
no.
would not have been a prudent move. So
you made good choices.
I think so. I think I made better bad choices.
Yeah.
You yeah, I wouldn't say the, you made good choices.
I was trying.
You
I
went with the grilled chicken instead of the fried.
I would rather kill myself than kill, like, a family of 20, you know? So. Mm-hmm. And that way I was improving the world.
So it was a really cool thing,
man,
and it's going on today as well?
Yeah, it starts, I think, at 3 or 4 o'clock today. And if you're out and about and cruising around town, it is so worth your time and mm-hmm. money to go over there and check it out. And it's you know, a mini ACL where, I mean, mini, M-I-N-I, where it's you can park really easily.
Mm-hmm.
You walk 2 seconds and you're right there. There are all these little tents, kind of like what we see here with all the local fooderies and drinkeries and all that. I mean, it's such a good vibe. Only Fort Worth, you know? And
or any other major city in America.
Well, and the thing is about, for whatever reason, and I can't really put my finger on it, Fort Worth still seems to me like a smaller town, you know?
Yeah.
Like it has all the big city amenities, but it has that vibe or that feel of a mid-major.
It's a big, yeah, it's a big college town to me. It's like a big Denton.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or Austin.
Right.
And I think that's what it is. I think it's because of the success of TCU and the fact that it's, you know, right centrally located where it is. Dallas doesn't have that feel because I think that SMU is such a culturally different university.
I agree.
I don't think that people that go to SMU are proud of SMU. They are there
right,
to
right.
go there, get tanked, get their law degree, and then go work for their dad.
That's really actually a good way to put it.
And TCU, it's different. People are proud. They've got school pride.
They're proud of the school. They're proud of their city. And, you know, down there at the arts festival or at the music festival, it was you're right there by Will Rogers. You're right by the Kimball. You're right by Casa Manana. It's all these, like, really cool artsy-fartsy things are right there.
Yeah.
And you look around, you're like, I'd like to go here tomorrow, too. You know, I mean, yeah.
To me, the major difference is Dallas is really fractured. It's very neighborhood cliquey.
Yeah.
Like, people don't venture outside their comfort zone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whereas it seems like Fort Worth is just one unified city.
Right. No, you're right. It's awesome. And we're here. This is my big Fort Worth weekend.
Boy, it is. You're going to the big football game. Is it tonight or this afternoon? When is it?
2:30 today. So I'm leaving from here to head over there. Yeah, so...
And then you got Aggie in Arkansas at the Death Star today, too.
That's at 1, right?
You remember, Dave, about, I don't know...
It's at 11.
11?
11:30, okay. I think, is kick. When we went to SMU-TCU over there...
at Ford?
At Amon Carter?
Did we go to Amon Carter? We went both, because I know we went in Dallas, too.
Yeah.
But I remember we were pretty fresh out of school one of those years... And we were both so depressed. Like, it was awesome looking at all the tail walking around, but we were like, you know that age where you're, like, now I feel like, yeah, I can get that. Yeah, I got that.
Well, you're wrong, but...
I know, yeah, but I feel that way.
Right.
But then...
I got money, so, you know.
Yeah, I'm working the ticket.
But back then, there was no shot, even though I was only, like, 4 years older than all those girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, God, you're so beautiful, and I can't have you.
Well, you were just lamenting the end of your college run.
Yeah. It's now really I'm back in it.
It's yeah.
Now I feel like, yeah, look, I'm wearing the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, now.
Look at me.
Yeah.
All right, let's
I don't know if you guys noticed, but I'm on the radio right now.
They don't care.
He's so famous.
They all hate you.
Oh, I know. I know, I hate me too. All right, so...
Let's get back to the over...
Over-technological...
Yes, yeah, when you had your...
The United States.
When you had your epiphany that something had gone horribly wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking about over-phoning and over-computering and over-TVing.
And it's mainly the simultaneous nature of it, where...
Yeah.
It's fine if you have all of these wonderful gadgets and you go from one to the other in
but
sequence.
But it's the over-stimulation.
Yes,
you
it's when
have
you have
everything open
everything
at once.
Going all the time.
Right. So Dave and I go over to my buddy Huey's house about 10 years ago.
Maybe more.
This was a separate...
This was
late 90s.
Yeah, it was. Okay. So
you were there at the time I was there when we were watching a Cowboy game. This happened numerous times over at your buddy Huey's house.
And so... And
Huey's wife, if you're listening, turn the radio off.
This was when Huey was absolutely single.
Overly single. So, but the thing, when Dave and I went over there, I don't remember this happening prior to it. We're watching the game, and, you know, we're grilling and eating and drinking, obviously, and...
There's the boss's daughter.
Oh, great.
Oh, my God.
Turn the speakers down.
And so... Yeah.
Cool.
We're, you know, hanging out and having a good time, and somehow, some way, it starts off with just football.
Right.
On TV.
Just a nice football game.
Yeah.
Four or five buddies.
I love football.
A nice beer.
Right.
While you're watching football.
Right. And that turned into, hey, you know, I don't like these announcers. Can you turn on the music?
Yeah.
And so,
okay, sound down on the football.
Here comes the hi-fi.
Yes. The high fidelity sound system blazing U2.
And it can't be on 1.
No.
It's got to be on 90. So it is cranked up to where the entire apartment complex can hear it. There's no doubt. The doors are open. The windows are cracked. You know, it's just loud. And then that
it's like REM's Monster just came out. So it's just like, what's the frequency, Kenneth,
right,
on 12?
Right. Look, we have distortion now.
Yes.
So then it's then that turns into, hey, you guys horny?
I got this new DVD in the mail.
And it was right at the outset of a picture in picture.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's where it all started, is picture in picture.
Who uses that?
Nobody.
What a waste of time.
Such a dead technology.
So we go picture in picture porn. I think he had that illegal chip in his cable box.
Yes, he did.
That was really in, you know?
Yeah, I know somebody else that had one, too.
Hello. And so, like, he turns it on, you know, spice or erection or whatever. whatever the channel of choice.
Coming up next on the Erection Network.
They don't even try to hide it.
No.
Erection TV. So that's going on, and it's like alternating between football being in the big picture and porn picture.
When the football play would end and it would go to spots, you'd hit switch, and then here's giant porn.
Right.
Is there anything gayer than five dudes watching sex things?
No, and I was not comfortable with it, and then like there's a Nerf football flying in front of my head like every 10 seconds and a Frisbee. And there was so much overstimulation, you know? It was unbelievable.
And I think Netherland was standing outside the front door smoking a cigarette.
Yes.
Peeking in the door, watching the porn and the football, and then catching the Nerf and throwing it from outside.
And not dropping his smoke from his mouth. And then you got beer.
Oh,
I'm sure there's bongs and stuff.
There's everything. Everything, all the time.
On top of it all, the caveat is, I think at some point, if the music was turned down, so Huey could direct.
He could play by play.
He was live directing the porn.
Yeah.
Which got so loud.
Oh.
And the door's wide open. So then it's an apartment complex.
Right.
Just like your generic village country club apartment complex. So.
All right, enough of that. Flip her over.
Yeah. Like, he will.
Beaver.
I guarantee
Fluffer.
You, he will do that.
Yes, don't worry. He's going to do everything to her.
Yeah, put it in there. He will.
Yes.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's
going to
happen.
Grab that. She will. It will all happen.
So gross and uncomfortable.
Yeah, just wait. So, no, the big kicker is that a week later, he calls
the eviction notice.
He calls me in his apartment complex, wrote him an eviction letter. Spelling out that
all of the infractions.
Yes, everything. All about that day. Everything we just described, but the kicker was that the pornography was so loud that children were scared.
Yes, and your blatant encouragement.
You're screaming at the television.
No, it was your viewing of pornography and loud encouragement of the actors and actresses.
Encouragement? Yeah! Do that! That's what I was telling you.
Eat that.
Swallow it.
Yeah. So, he got a nice eviction notice. And didn't he have to move, or did he go apologize, or did he just get out of there?
I think he got married.
I need a new place. Better get married.
Oh, my God.
I can't afford this. I got to get married.
What a mess.
Oh, it was awesome. I think he still has that letter, too.
Yeah.
We talked about
it. We brought it up to the
radio station. I think we read the letter.
Read the damn thing on the air.
Yeah, it was so incredibly. It was almost like a bit.
Yeah, it was like something that we would prank somebody else with.
Yeah.
That's the day technology died.
It is.
Yep. And it all goes back to that. Thank you, picture in picture.
It's just like the Buddy Holly crash. That's the day that. Music died.
Oh dear! Man. All right, let's try and recover. And
I want to hear.
You know,
about...
I thought that other ticket people. Not that I don't enjoy you, Corby, but I thought we were having fun.
I'm
having a great time. But I thought that we would have appearances by other ticket people.
I
guess they've all blown it off.
I know one guy that will be here 100% guaranteed.
Dongavin?
Craig Miller.
Why? Because he's going to the football game.
Because
with
I'm
you?
Giving him tickets.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so he will be here.
I like dogs.
TCU.
Look at all the dogs.
What do you want to hear about next?
I want to hear about your interfacing with Kermit Ruffin last night. Can we do that?
We'll tell the rated G version next.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Way to hit the post, man!
Didn't even try.
Good job. You should be a DJ. You should work in radio, Dave.
It's 11:15 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. This is the Orphanage live from Barktoberfest.
I think you have a bright future in this industry.
Yeah. I think I'm past my prime.
I think so.
But thank you.
Aren't we all?
By the way, if you like today's return music, download the September mixtape at oldwaver.com. Like that cross promotion?
Yeah. Did you know, Corby, that Dave Lane has a music blog site?
You do?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Oldwaver.com. It's pretty cool.
I like that name.
Yeah.
I get it.
I get it too.
You get it. It's telegraphic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you trying to you know, get some so many readers or subscribers and become like a gorilla versus bear or something like that?
No, I don't aspire to I mean, anything you, like that. Because
you do spend time on it, right?
Yeah, I spend
like
time
an
on it.
Ample amount of time?
Yeah, I try and post. I mean, I don't do anything on the weekends, but during the week, I try and post at least one thing per day. But,
you know,
but Chris with Gorilla vs. Bear, I mean, I think
that's
his living.
Yeah.
He makes enough money to live off of that.
That's so great.
Does he really?
Yeah. There's no way.
When did he start that?
Like 5 years ago or something?
Maybe longer than that.
He was way ahead of the curve on that. So
I remember me and him and, was it Sam Moscovich? We did like something for like XM or Sirius back then where he had
his
own
show.
Is he still doing that?
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. It's pretty cool how they piece that together. You know, you basically go in and he was like just talking to me, I guess being whatever, in the local music scene, and then Sam being a editor for the Dallas Observer back in the day.
What does he do, by the way, now?
Sam?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
He lives somewhere else.
Yeah, I think, didn't he move to, like, Portland or something?
Yeah.
Anyway, but you go in, and Chris will, like, ask you a bunch of questions, and then say, okay, and now here's a song that Danny brought in. Here's, I don't know, something by the Posies or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, cool, let's do the next segment. So you never really actually play the song. And what he does is they you combine all those audio clips, then you email them to some producer in like New York, and they take all of the interview stuff, all the questions and answers, and then they put the song in there in MP3 form or however what format, and they just produce the show. He has no part in producing the show. It's all piecemealed together up in New York, and then it's put into like an hour or 2 hour format.
So like they have like a TC
they just play
that
it. Yeah.
Strings it all together.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Sirius XM TC of podcasting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was neat. It took us like, I mean, it was a 2 hour show, but we didn't have to deal with playing the actual music.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they did
that
later. So the process took like 30 minutes.
See, I know Dave is a lot better than you or I at this. But you're really good about staying in touch and sampling and being fresh as far as music.
Because I'm ADD.
Well, yeah, but you like it too, and I do too, man. I love, like, I get excited, you know, if I hear somebody say, like, you need to listen to this, and I'll go listen to it. I mean, I'll give it a shot, and I'll try to, you know, on my own kind of investigate it. Not as much as you probably, but, I mean, I still really enjoy new music. And I think, like, inherently my greatest fear is that I don't want to turn into classic rock guy.
Yep.
You know, I don't want to turn into
where there's a year cut off and
yeah,
anything
and
after
I,
that you
dude,
don't know anything about
I mean,
it.
We all know people like that.
Yeah.
Who just, I mean, you know, like Gordon's that way. Gordon's musical taste cut off at 1989. He won't listen to anything. He doesn't care. He's just like, man, I love The Cure and The Cars and that's it.
I just don't see how you can avoid it. I mean, how can you go through life? And as much media as Gordon probably consumes, how do you...
He avoids
are you not...
He's not interested.
How are you just not exposed to something musical that's new that doesn't catch your ear?
And as musical as he is,
yeah.
As good as a, you know, as good as a guitar and bass player as he is, it just doesn't... He doesn't care. It's weird. Like, you're like,
well,
hey, listen to this.
And he... I've tried to play him stuff before, and he goes into hypercritical musician mode, and he like breaks down the song and listens to individual parts and never just enjoys it,
the whole of it.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't get it, and you know, I people that I went to school with that are like, their musical taste cut off in 1993.
Yeah,
that's it's done. You know, it's like, hey, let's go see My Morning Jacket.
Who's that?
Why? Why do I want to do that?
I'm going to go see Alice in Chains with the new black
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, I like the black guy from Alice in Chains.
He sounds just like Layne Staley.
But he's black.
It's crazy. It's like a black ghost of Layne Staley.
But I don't want to be, I don't want to be, you know, trucker hat Lynyrd Skynyrd guy.
Right.
You know, like, I'm going to see Skynyrd, you know, where I'm like, ah. Yeah, Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
I'm going to see him. Whoa, yeah. Let's get the band together again. Come on.
I reconnected. I may have told both of you guys this story, either collectively or individually, but I had reconnected because of MySpace maybe like 5 or 6 years ago with one of my best friends from like middle school on. He lived in Abilene. I lived in Knox City. We met at church camp. Mm-hmm. We just immediately connected. We always stayed in touch. We'd hang out with each other on the weekends and stuff. And I lost touch with him after you know, high school. I hadn't talked to the guy in probably 15 years, and he found me online, And we talked on the phone. I was like, dude, how have you been? What's going on? He's married. He's got a kid. We're catching up. And I was like, so what kind of music? Because we were all into the same dumb metal.
Docking, yeah,
we were like big docking dorks. And I was like, so what are you into these days? What kind of music are you into? He's like, oh, man, it's pretty much listening to the same stuff. I'm like, really? So you've got Out of the Cellar in your cassette player right now? Yeah, pretty much, man.
Yeah.
God, I'm like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
I mean, no. Like, you don't like anything new? And he's like, no, man, I really don't listen to much.
That new Chickenfoot's pretty good.
Chickenfoot. I have a new record coming out, by the way.
Chickenfoot.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Chickenfoot.
But I could not believe that. But, yeah, it's strange how some people, their brains just, they shut off.
You know how people say automatically, like when we're talking about music or whatever, that we're music snobs?
Yes.
You know, I mean, people, right. You probably get emails like that, too. It's just because you play something and you don't like it, and, you know, in your case, well, you're in a band, and you never made it.
You're just jealous because your band sucks.
Right. But
you know where my fault is saying, rather than saying, that's not my taste, I don't like that personally, I say that it sucks. That's what offends people. And I don't mean that.
You know what? We're on the air, and
you play it up a little bit, you know, but yeah, I don't think it sucks. I'm sure it's got merit and quality to somebody out there, and I don't want to insult people that actually like that.
But I think a lot of people, they probably don't like it either.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those people that, you know, when we do like new music, I think that it may be interesting to some, but 90% of the people that are listening
they
just
hate
like,
it.
Why are they doing this? What are they doing?
Yeah.
They don't, they're not into music. Like there's a huge faction of our listening audience and just people in general that don't give a rip. Like, do you guys have people come up to you and like, I mean, I'll listen to you guys when you play music, but I don't really care or whatever.
Yes.
I mean, they just don't, it doesn't mean anything to them. And like, I don't know how I would get by without it.
I
don't know how I would get by without music.
I don't get a ton of email either way, but the email that I usually get are from music nerds like us that are like, hey, thanks for playing that, or hey, have you heard this?
Yeah, and that is the flip side. I get a lot of people, of the music, you know, music nerdy people that are like, you need to check this out, which is great.
It's awesome.
I don't know a lot of stuff, and I don't...
Most of the stuff they send me sucks, but I do appreciate it.
Don't bother, but thanks.
I mean, I was telling a buddy last night, this year, I've had more fun and been to more shows that I've been really into than any time in my life. Like, this has been my best music year ever.
What's that like?
Going to live shows. Shut up.
You'll find out again. Shut up.
But it's, you know, it's really, I can't imagine my summer not being how it was, where it seemed like once a month I'm going to these big shows that I really, really enjoyed, that I'm reading about beforehand and afterwards and checking out set lists and being dorky. Sometimes I think like I'm too old for it, but then I'm like, I like it. This is what I like.
Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, don't let yourself be judged by anybody that thinks you're too old.
Yeah, and I will get the email like, don't you have children? Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that, and who cares? And yes, in the majority of people, there is a cutoff limit where they just give up. And I think that's what it is. They just give up.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And I have a ton of respect for, like, even Ryan's, for example. I mean, he is, like we were saying earlier, he has changed.
Yeah,
and he's
no
opened
doubt.
His mind to a lot of different stuff. And he's willing to give something a shot. The stuff that I hear on his iPod for Return Music,
yeah.
I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that you have that. And I like to, you know, bust his balls and tell him he's too old for that. But secretly, I'm like, very cool. That's awesome.
I
hope I'm like that. Like Alan Levy, our good friend, the Hardline Wizard.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy knows more about current music than
Not
I do.
Not only is he a Rolodex as far as history goes, musically, he keeps up with it.
Yes. Now, he has a ton of free time to do that.
Yeah, he does.
God bless him. We hope you get a gig soon, Alan. We're pulling for you. But I think that's really cool for guys in their 50s and 60s that are... not trying to stay current to be cool and go do silent disco at the Green Elephant and try to hook up with 24-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, that's just creepy. They're not doing it to be creepy. They're doing it because it's what they like.
Right.
And they're not giving up on it.
Right. I wonder
The thing that's overwhelming to me is that now it's so much easier to record and put out music because there's... With you know, laptops and stuff, and it's very DIY to make and distribute music now.
Yeah.
And so there's just tenfold the number of releases than there was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, what you used to be able to, you know, go to your local music store and they would have the board of upcoming releases and you could see what was coming up. And now it's just a constant barrage of new stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so much harder to keep up and what I think keeps people from wanting to try.
That it's just overwhelming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like, too, in the 70s, and Mike talks about this, too, there's so many bands right now.
There were so fewer bands back then.
Oh, my
then.
God.
You had, like, six bands, it seems
seriously,
like.
Yeah. I mean, there was... And, you know, to be on a label was such a big... You got signed.
It validated you.
Yes.
If you were on a label, that meant you were good.
Right. And now you want to avoid it. Like, last night at the music, at the Fort Worth Music Festival, I was reading, like, some bios from some of the bands. It's like, and they put out seven records, and they just got signed. I'm like, it's not even a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe ego-wise, but what does it matter anymore? I mean...
It just gets you to a larger audience.
Does
you
know? It?
Yeah, it does.
If you get a good deal.
Yeah, if you get a good deal where they're going to spend the money to market you, and they have the proper... You know, it's just like marketing anything else. Like that movie, very quick example, like that movie Drive. They're marketing that movie initially like it was going to be another Gone in 60 Seconds or Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
That movie is nothing like that from what I hear. I hear it's like a really great organized crime film.
I hear it is the best... action-y,
yeah.
car-y film out there in years.
And that movie is probably going to survive in spite of its marketing. But it was marketed the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know,
I saw it as Gone in 60 Seconds.
So did I.
And Angelina I'll go 80.
Completely dismissed it. But music's the same way. You have to get the right deal and have a good label that knows how to market you and knows where to put the ads and what publications and to know where your audience is.
Yeah.
A smart enough label to know exactly where your audience is and who's going to buy your stuff.
Like, weren't you guys kind of wined and dined at one time back in the 80s? Like, we're flown to L.A. and stuff?
Yeah, we did a couple of showcases, like one at the...
Sahara Rain, played the Roxy.
We did play the Roxy. We played the Roxy, the Whiskey, played SIR Studios. Did like two or three showcases out there.
Does that even happen now?
Yeah, it does. It does.
But on an infinitely smaller scale.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And
now it's all like, CMJ in New York and
right.
South by Southwest.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's all those industry shindigs where they have showcases. It's not...
It used to be South by Southwest. Did you say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that used to be like that. I don't think it's like that. That's more of a showcase for major label bands.
Yeah.
But it used to be a breeding ground for, you know, people in the industry could, okay, we're going to all go to one city. There's 500 unsigned bands that we're going to go out there and just scout talent.
Yeah.
And it was like that back in the late 80s and early 90s. It's not that way
but
anymore.
But now there's, you know.
Now they found out a way, just like the other end of the building, how to F it up.
Right.
Sales and revenue and leverage. They found a way to make ass loads of money off of it with sponsorships and whatnot. So that's changed.
You know, now if you don't, I mean, you can speak from experience on this standpoint, but if...
What, are we talking about divorce now?
If you don't play, if you're not good at playing live shows,
mm-hmm.
you're not making any money. Unless
yeah.
you're T.I. or somebody like that, you know, or Rihanna or something.
Yes.
I mean... You got to play live, and you got to play a lot.
Yeah,
you know, to make any dough whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God, though, that there is an avenue for bands like the old 97s to where those guys can make a comfortable living
and not play 200 shows
exactly,
a year.
Exactly. Yeah, they can play 30, 40, 50 shows a year or whatever, and be okay.
Yeah, it's the theory of doing less and getting paid more for the time you do it.
Or, you know, a band like Wilco, which probably plays a lot more than the old 97s do, but, you know, those guys get zero radio play outside of, like, public radio and maybe a cool station in Austin or Chicago or something.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get played. I mean, that's the thing. Like, yeah, I got the new Wilco record. Who?
Yeah.
How... I mean, to me, they're huge.
They started underground, and their fans are diehard, and they share the knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, now they have their own label, so they control the whole process.
That's the thing, too.
It's so brilliant.
You know, I mean, they don't... A band like that that gets zero radio play has their own label.
Yeah.
And they're successful, and they make money. It's just... It's all changed so much since Fog had. You know,
bad
seriously.
Company.
Yeah. I
Molly
mean,
Hatchet.
Those bands were so reliant on one thing.
Yeah.
Being signed and being this...
being on the radio, being on Q102.
There was a time when I was a kid, you always heard about it. Oh, we've got to move to LA and we've got to get signed. If you get signed, it means you've made it.
Right. Or you know, having your song played on the radio, and it's still a big deal because a lot of people, that's the only thing they know musically is what they hear on the radio.
I don't care what anybody says, it's cool. It's
sure. Really
cool when you hear your stuff on the radio.
Of course, yeah. You think that you've achieved something.
It's just kind of neat.
But on the flip side, you can make the argument, if you're in a band that's successful and you don't need it, you're like, F it, I don't care.
Right.
I mean, you may want it, but you're like, it doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, people that are like Mike in 50s or 60s, it's still, I don't think it really registers that you can be a successful outfit and not be on the radio.
Yeah.
And, you know, even Donovan, his stereotypical line is, what are their hits? You don't need hits any. Hits, they don't matter.
Not to
they
sustain.
Matter to Rihanna.
Yeah, yeah, and Lil Wayne.
Right.
But to bands that have a long, slow burn longevity, yeah, like you're talking about, like My Morning Jacket and Wilco, those guys are making very, very comfortable livings. They don't have to go work at a record store when they're not on tour.
Is that not a, I mean, My Morning Jacket, they don't ever get played, right?
Right, but you got to remember that the majority of people are either country or top 40.
Yeah,
those two genres are still based on hits and based on charts and based on radio.
And
play.
Let's not make any mistake. Top 40 is hip hop. It's the same,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Yeah, but there's still like Train and stuff like that that gets played on there.
But I'm telling you, the people that listen, the majority of people that listen to Train are listening to Rihanna and the hits and the.
Was that show good? Train and Maroon 5.
Let's talk about that next.
Didn't go.
Liar.
This music talk segment has been brought to you by oldwaver.com.
This snobby music talk is brought to you by Dave's blog.
Hey, next, you guys want to talk about CJ and that magnificent crapping of the bed yesterday?
No.
Not really.
Then what do you want to talk about?
Next.
Dog.
That poodle.
That is a big dog.
It's a Great Dane, baby.
Dog.
That is majestic, isn't it?
Yes.
He's been snipped, though.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
He's not going to come after you.
He might.
I'm just saying we don't have to look at him.
I'm going to have sex with you.
You don't have to see the speed bag.
And you got no choice, man.
It's 11:42 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. We are at Barktoberfest at Fort Wolf Dog Park.
Yay.
Just off I-30 Beach Street. It's brought to you by Man's Best Friend, Taylor's Gift, and Cadillac Escalade. And coming up at noon, Stupid Pet Tricks out here in the middle of the dog park. And we're right next to the off-leash portion of the dog park.
Now, I got to
That's
go.
When things get crazy.
That's, yeah.
I got to go after this segment,
mm-hmm.
This seggy.
Because you got to go watch football ball.
I do have to watch football ball, but it looks like a human that he's carrying. Like a kid.
Wearing a Rangers t-shirt and a Rangers hat.
That's awesome.
A dog hat. All right, speaking of Rangers, well, what do you even say? I mean,
you just forget.
Yuck.
You do what they do. You have to look at that and go, that was fun, and then forget it.
You know what? The one thing that
there's nothing you can take from that game that's going to help you today.
The one thing that I'm glad is that, and I was so pissed yesterday that the game started at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because I did want to go. I'm so glad that it did start.
Because you would have gone.
And been
miserable.
The whole game.
Think about Groobs.
I know. You talk about a game that you're so fired up for, and I got tickets to the playoffs, and you're so excited. And you get there, and there's not 1 second of good times.
My buddy, you never cheer one time.
No,
not at all. I mean, you cheer on the Josh Hamilton hit.
And then he bunts.
Yes. You know why he did that. He was trying to take advantage of the overshift, and it went the wrong way.
Okay.
Yeah. He was trying to get on base. He was trying to generate anything because there was nothing happening. But, yeah, one of my really good friends, Aaron, I don't think he'd ever been to a playoff game. He's a pretty new Rangers fan, and he's, like, so excited about baseball. And I get this all-caps text from him. Dude, I got tickets to the game tomorrow. I'm so stoked. And he's, like, Facebooking pictures of it and baseball weenie going crazy. I mean, yeah, there's
awful.
Your – have fun with that, buddy.
Literally, worst game of the year. Like, if you just throw that in the regular season hopper, it's the worst Ranger game of the year.
Yes, and they picked now. To do it. It was. It was the worst Ranger game of the
year. And I had fear just because of the way that the Rays ended the regular season. And
totally.
Even though you could make the argument that maybe the Yankees weren't exactly trying to hold them off, in game 162. And good God, how shallow is that left field line at Tropicana?
Yeah, I know.
That was ridiculous, that Longoria home run. But so I had, you know, the game of, or the team of destiny worry. But then you factor in, okay, it's a guy making his second start in the majors, and then they bring out Cooper Stone to throw out the first pitch.
How can you
and
lose?
It's so emotional. And
I
it's
hear
like,
people were crying.
They were. They panned the crowd, and they were people visibly weeping and mopping up tears.
They went back to the TBS studio and what's his
name?
Wells.
Vernon Wells?
Kenny Smith?
No, David Wells.
Oh.
He was wiping tears from his eyes.
Really?
When they went to break.
It was touching, man.
But
that
so
was the
best moment.
The best moment.
Yeah.
The most memorable moment of the game as a Ranger fan.
So I had a good feeling going into the game, even though I was a little nervous, and then fake Corby hits that home run.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
Yeah.
CJ's wheels just flew off.
And
eight runs in five innings.
I think was the Zobrist hit by pitch, was that before the fake Corby home run?
Yeah.
That seems like when he came unraveled, because I think he was pissed. Because Zobrist had no business getting hit by that ball. He check swung and left his arm out in the middle of the strike zone. It's not like CJ was wild. And I can understand if one gets away from you and you hit somebody, but when you throw a pretty damn good pitch, which might have even been called a strike, because who knows what that umpire was doing yesterday. He was so inconsistent.
Was he really? It was tough to tell.
Yes. Oh, my God. He was awful. And to leave your arm out in the strike zone and get hit, I mean, at that point, I think CJ just came unraveled. What is he doing coming unraveled? Isn't he supposed to be this Zen master?
I think it's because he bragged so much during his press conference on Thursday about his 70-inch TV. You know, I don't mean to brag. I don't watch any TV.
I don't watch TV, but when I do, it's 70 inches.
Yeah. I was cruising over in my vet, and...
He's a beatdown, man.
Oh God.
He is a whip.
You forgot the old samurai saying of don't suck.
Oh, yeah. What was that? The old samurai saying. Was it called... What was it exactly, though? I can't remember.
Don't sharpen your blade too much or it'll get dull.
Yeah, that's what it was. Like, focusing too much on baseball.
Yeah. Whatever. How about focusing a little bit?
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit.
Just enough.
Well, hopefully they just forget completely. And
although you got to go against Big Game Shields today, who has kind of had their number.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing when you lose a game like that, like the confidence
the sky
level
is falling.
Of the fans?
I know.
I have none.
Well,
when you look at last year, they take the first two in Tampa, and then Tampa comes here and takes the next two.
Exactly.
But then, again, we had in Game 5, we had Cliff Lee.
Yeah.
Which helped a bunch. But, and I know we've made the...
The Cliff pitch game?
1-5.
1-5, okay.
Yeah. We've made the parallels to the Mavericks, and I guess we were probably feeling this way after what was it, game 3 in Portland?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
So, if we are going to draw those comparisons, and we are going to make that parallel, man, the Rangers are good. They have very good pitching. They have a very good offense. They've been hot at the right time.
They just need to get a lead.
They could go out there and win the next three games.
Easily.
They just need to score. They need to score first.
Yeah, that makes a big difference in the playoffs. And I can't remember who it was they were interviewing last night, but for the Rays. But he said that was key. That was really big for them to just get a run. It was Shopik, though, that said that. So it was huge for us to get... For Damon to go out there and get that home run.
And then that idiot hits two home runs.
Because it gives the rookie, who's got great stuff, it gives him a sense of confidence where he can go out there and just relax.
I so wanted to face the Red Sox.
I know, I did too.
Everybody did.
Oh, my God.
I was laughing at them, cheering for them to lose, but now I look back on it, I'm like, we would have swept them.
Yeah.
I'm convinced.
I would have preferred finishing third behind Detroit and having to go to New York over this.
Agree. I mean, you may be facing that team, you know? Who knows? I tell you what, though. They lose today.
Yeah.
Forget it.
It's tough.
I do, because you're going to have to face Shields and Moore again.
Yep.
And if Shield shuts him down today like he did in September for two games.
You lose today, you got Price and then Moore again.
Oh, my God. No. You'll have...
Right?
Well, no.
You'll have Hellickson.
You'll have Hellickson.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you did make it to a game five, yes. you'd have Matt Moore again, right?
Yeah, I guess they'd
or maybe
throw him out
Shields.
There.
They said they'll
rest.
Throw Shields in five.
Okay. You think they go Shields? You know what? After what Moore did, a two-hitter?
I put that guy out there in a
hell
heartbeat
yeah.
and just have Shields ready to go.
Yeah,
in
and the
case.
Way that the Rangers struggle against lefties anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he's, you know, like Mike was saying yesterday, the second time through the lineup, typically the Rangers do really well.
Didn't make a damn bit of
difference.
Dude,
they were worse.
They were worse the third time through the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, Kinsler, I don't know. Win today, please.
At least they don't have a day between games. At least they come right back.
Yeah.
Here's the ass kicker when it comes to baseball.
And this will be Corby's final thought.
Yeah. When it comes to baseball, as opposed to basketball, you know, the first round of the seven-game series, it lasts about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
This all could be over on Monday. It starts Friday. It's over Monday. All 162 games, the joy that everybody had in the great season, is over in 3 days. It's really strange. And that's like a game in basketball mm-hmm. for the first round series.
Yep.
So that's the most depressing part for me is you have so much fun and everything's so great. And I'm still, like Mike said yesterday, I don't care if they do get swept.
It's still a successful season.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's done so quickly.
Yeah.
And you're so excited, and then boom, it's ripped out from
under. Yeah, I mean, at the very least, you got to stretch it to five to feel good about the season and feel like, okay, well, you know, they just had the mojo, and we got by them last year, they got by us this year.
So think about the playoffs in baseball is, in basketball, you've got – it's such a more of a offensive-defensive team game, but
it's all about pitching.
It's all about pitching. That's the thing that sucks about baseball in the playoffs is it's everything hinges essentially on one man
right.
on your team,
right?
And whether he's going to be hot or not.
That's why I think no matter what happens with the Rangers in this series and the next series and whoever plays the Phillies, how do you beat them?
I don't know.
When it
Corby,
comes down to the playoffs and you get into the World
like
Series, how in the F do you beat the Phillies? How do you beat Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee?
You hope
forget
they,
about the other.
You hope
about
your guy's
Cole
better
Hamels
than them that day. That's it. That's all you can hope for.
It's not even fair.
I mean, they're not perfect. They have bad games.
They
have
lose.
Bad. Yeah, they lose, and you just hope that day that your guy's a little bit better than theirs.
And Cliff got beat. Cliff got beat. In the World Series twice last year.
You damn sure did. Thanks a lot, Cliff.
All right. I've had fun.
Thanks, dude, for sticking around.
Corby is off to watch TCU.
You paid your dog park penance.
I did. It was fun.
And we still have not seen one other ticket personality.
Not one.
Where the F are they?
I don't know. Well, Junior Miller, we've got your tickets.
Yeah,
so
Craig, if you're listening.
Get your butt out here.
Your tickets are here. Hope you make it.
We'll scalp them if you're not here in 30 minutes.
If you're not here in 30 minutes, I'm going to the damn game.
There's some ass here.
Oh,
my
God, you're not kidding.
I'd like to see some boobs.
Any hot bitches?
Go pick up your wife.
All right.
It's only boobs you're going to see. The same old boobs.
Ah, boobs.
All right, that's Corby. He's Davey. I'm Daniel, and we'll be back after these brief messages.
It's noon on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. This is the Orphanage into bonus coverage.
This is extra time.
Yes. We are on until 1:05 today, and then we will give way to the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD, and then there's some football game after that, SMU and somebody. But
I believe it's TCU.
Oh.
Right?
I don't know. I don't know about sports.
Yes, you do. You work at a sports station. You're supposed to know
that doesn't
everything
mean anything
about sports.
And we are at Barktoberfest. We just said goodbye to Corby. He was the only personality that signed up for the 10 to noon time slot. But
he didn't sign up. He just showed up.
Right. But we should fully expect a cavalcade of ticket stars here in the next hour. Because
probably
they,
Expo and Max Miller, and I believe Rocco's going to be out.
Yep. And we're on until, as I said, till 1:05, and we'll try and pop all those guys on as they filter in. But this is, how many years have we been doing Barktoberfest? Like six,
five.
Seven?
I can't remember a time in my life where I wasn't doing Barktoberfest, Dave.
And this is probably the best weather we've ever had for Barktoberfest. It's a great day, so we encourage you to come out, bring your dog to Fort Wolf Dog Park just off I-30 at Beach Street. It goes until 2, we're on until 1, and it's brought to you by Man's Best Friend, Taylor's Gift and Cadillac Escalade.
It is the time of year in North Texas where you never know what it's going to be like, because we've been out here when it's been 40 degrees, and I would not plan for that, and I would have, you know, not even a hoodie or anything, just
right.
Freezing balls. Hi, Donovan. And then there's been other times where you show up and you're in shorts and it's 102 and you're miserable.
Right.
But this is absolutely perfect, and it's one of our better crowds that we've had.
Yeah. The weather definitely played a part. And it's just, what, 2 days removed from a bonus 100-degree day?
Yes. Yeah, we got an extra 100-degree
day.
Just
one last kick in the nuts.
Yeah, I think it was described on the air the other day by a genius radio personality is that this summer has been like the Jason Voorhees of summers, that you think it's dead, and it just keeps coming back and coming back. That's the character from Friday the 13th that
yes.
killed people but would never die.
So even though summer is officially over, it's just 100-degree days in a calendar year, right?
Yeah. Yep. No. Actually, if summer... When was summer officially over?
Like a week ago, I think.
Okay, well, then this
the fall
then
equinox
that doesn't,
or
then the
whatever.
One the other day doesn't count.
It doesn't?
It has to fall in the summer, I believe,
okay.
for it to be the hottest summer on record. So
we already had that record locked up.
Yes, as far as the most days of 100-degree-plus temperatures, we did not... We missed the consecutive days record by a couple.
Yeah,
I think
we were 1 or 2 days away from that.
But still, I consider this a very successful summer as far as being hotter than crap.
You know, our summer even made the consciousness of Radiohead.
How so?
They were on this past week on Stephen Colbert, the Colbert Report.
I watched a little bit of that online. I saw the interview, which I found to be very funny.
Yes, they did two interview segments, one with the whole band and then one that was just Tom and the other guitar player. I forget his name.
The Not Johnny Greenwood
guy? Yeah, Not Johnny Greenwood. And so in the Not Johnny Greenwood segment, they were talking about global warming. And, you know, Colbert was doing his conservative character, you know, about, you know, do you believe now that it's just a you know, made up term, and you know, are we free to stop caring about it now?
Right.
And they were just Tom and the other guy were talking about evidence that, you know, it still is a concern, and Not Johnny Greenwood said, you know, say that to the people in Texas who just had their hottest summer ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know that Not Johnny Greenwood is thinking about me and my current weather conditions.
Yes, he is concerned about you and all of us. And by the way, if you want to see the Stephen Colbert interview and performances by Radiohead, go to oldwaver.com.
Yes, there was one part of the interview that he did with the band that I found to be very funny when he asked Tom York about, he kept calling the, referring to British music as the invasion. When he asked Tom York, he's like, so, you know, do you hearken back or do you find influence of other people, other bands from the invasion, like the Rolling Stones or the Beatles? And they're like, oh, yeah, we know we love the Beatles. We're just kind of, the only thing we're missing, we kind of want the giant crowds cheering, yelling and screaming when we get off of the airplane. And you're like, well, you know, they were kind of the adorable mop tops, you know, with the matching suits. You guys have a little bit more of a shaggier kind of alternative look. By the way, Tom, how old are you? I'm 42. Yeah. Time to grow up, buddy. Colbert is genius. He
yeah.
is absolute genius.
Oh, and he had the sign attached to the back of his chair.
The
that
Dr.
It was,
Pepper Zone?
Yeah, it was that we're interviewing Radiohead here in the Dr. Pepper Zone.
Like the most non-corporate, you know, sponsored band, the most anti-corporate band out there.
Yeah, I think Tom was actually a little bit uncomfortable. He's like, yeah, we didn't discuss that.
Yeah. It was very funny. Check it out on oldwaver.com, and you can see all of those clips.
Yes.
In their entirety. Right now it's 12:07 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. And coming up next, Notes from the Hood with Donovan.
And Craig Miller.
like as soon as we come back
right.
on the air. The
Everybody scatters.
Yeah, the personalities that have finally shown up, they all leave.
Yeah, we've had a Dan, a Craig, and a
Dongovan
sighting, and they've all split.
Now, I promised notes from the hood with Dongovan, but I don't know, maybe he's over in the pit bull section or
right.
hanging out.
He's over in the dog fighting pit.
There is no dog fighting pit at Barktoberfest, sir.
Yes, this is Barktoberfest. It goes until 2. We're on the air until 1. We're the orphanage, of course, as if you didn't know. Dave and Danny, and Barktoberfest at Fort Wolf Dog Park, Beach, and I-30 is brought to you by Man's Best Friend, Taylor's Gift, and Cadillac Escalade.
Want to give a big shout-out to my good buddy Trey Carmichael today. It's his birthday.
Oh, wow.
I think it's either today or yesterday, but we're celebrating it tonight at Lee Harvey's. So if you get a weekend pass, you should come out and hang. The weather's going to be beautiful.
No dice.
No?
I have a sick child.
Oh, that's right. Is she vomiting out of her butt?
No, vomiting out of her mouth.
Oh. Well, that's the best. If you're going to vomit, that's the best place to do it.
Yeah. And we also need to give a shout-out to El Cane Rosso. They're out here with their mobile pizza truck.
Yes. And it's right over there if you want to get some pie.
Wonderful, delicious pie.
Check them out on Commerce down in Deep Ellum. It's a great, great place to go get delicious.
They're in the old, what was that? The brew pub down there?
I don't know.
From a million years ago?
No, they're not.
They're not in that space?
You're thinking of... No, they're not in that space. They're right next to Adair's.
Yeah, they're like across the street from Twisted Root.
Yes, yeah. I think that place was called On the Rocks back in the day. It was a metal nightclub.
Awesome.
Yeah, but they do have wonderful, wonderful, authentic Italian pizza. Man, I'm telling you, between them and Campania... You can't go wrong. It's like the best pizza in Dallas for those two places. Man, but Scalini's is great.
There's a lot of good pizza in Dallas.
You know what there's not a lot of good of in Dallas? And that's Chinese food.
Yeah, that's true.
Name one good Chinese restaurant
there's
in Dallas.
There's a bunch of good Thai restaurants,
there's
but no
great,
good Chinese
great
restaurants.
Great Thai, great Vietnamese, great Mediterranean. Not that those are connected in any certain way, but... Tell me a good Chinese restaurant in Dallas.
I can't.
I mean, seriously, and I'm not kidding. Peiwei is probably the best Chinese food in Dallas.
And that's not really the Asian.
Yeah, it's like an
foods.
Asian fusion. But, I mean, if you want like a stir fry with rice, I mean, there's so many places that I've tried. I mean, I'll get those menus on my door and I'll try them and they suck.
Yeah, Betty's is okay.
Where's that?
That's across from Snuffers on Greenville.
You know what? Tried that.
By Izmir Express.
Never been super satisfied with that place.
Yeah, it's just okay.
It's all that run-of-the-mill mediocre, like Egg Roll Hut down on Columbia. It's okay. It's not great. But where is like the really, really good takeout Chinese in this town?
Let us hear from you.
Like New York. You want good takeout, you can find it in New York or Boston or any of the northeastern cities. But good Lord, Dallas. I mean, we're a huge market in this godforsaken country. Can't we get some damn good Chinese around here? What are you doing to help?
I'm not doing anything to help. Wait, I got a text message. Maybe this is somebody...
texting you about Chinese food?
Yes.
All right. Let's see.
Oh, Copper Tank was the brew pub.
Yeah, but that's not what it is. I don't know what Copper Tank is anymore. That property...
I think it's just vacant.
It might still be for lease.
And I imagine that was Richard, because he said, don't sleep on Bryan Street Tavern's pizza.
Dude, that's true.
It's up there.
That's true. Bryan Street Tavern has fantastic pizza. But yeah... That's one of the great things about Dallas is delicious, delicious pizza. Well, one of the places that you're probably not going to find pizza at, but I'll tell you what, if you want some catfish, here's the man that can tell you where to get some catfish at a gas station.
wearing his Juneteenth shirt.
Yes. Well, you are representing.
There are times you have to bring flavor to Barktoberfest, and I thought this was one of them.
You did.
Yeah,
we thought you were at the dogfighting pit.
Yeah. Like a Donovan's overlooking at the pit bulls right now.
Throwing down 20s.
Just got to perpetuate the stereotype, man.
Come on, Butch. I got 20 on you, Butch. No, I wouldn't do that, man. Come on.
But officially, here he is, the great Dongovan Lewis from the Midday Bad Radio Rotterdam Radio program.
How are you surviving without Bob?
The Dan and Donovan show.
It's tough, man. You know, everyone's trying to step the game up a little bit.
You've had Folliwell and Rads kind of
Deucey,
in and out.
Deucey's been in. So, you know, it's just trying to hold on until Sports Therm get back, man.
You know who I've really enjoyed? And granted, Radigan, a genius talent in this business, has been forever. Folliwell, we all know what he brings. Mm-hmm. But you know who's very understated is Deucey.
He's a sniper.
He's a sly dog.
Yeah, he really is. Because he gives off that clean cut good guy I'm on TV image, but then he'll say some very understated fly under the radar lines, and I'm like, I can't believe Deucey just said that.
He has paint on his face.
Uh-huh.
He's in the bushes, and then all of a sudden he'll say something and pop, 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 pop.
Yeah,
bro, go back down. It's great, man. Yeah. I love Deucey.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying having the Deuce on the radio.
Yeah, we have Rats, I believe, Monday and Tuesday, and Deucey will be back Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
And then any word on Bob? We should have Bob the week of the 8th.
Right.
Yeah, he should be back then.
All right, well, let me ask you this. We were just talking about some of the great foods that Dallas has to offer,
sure,
because we have Cane Rosso has been kind enough to bring us some tasty pizza. And Dallas has got great pizza joints. There's tons of great pizza places.
We haven't even mentioned Campisi's.
Campisi's, even like
Louie's.
Like, Louie's is amazing.
Love Louie's.
Piggy Pies, even, if
right,
you want like a good delivery pie. Picasso's, great delivery pizza.
Lover's Pizza.
Lover's Pizza is awesome. Brother's Pizza, great New York-style pizza there. There's no good Chinese food around. Like, really good Chinese food.
Yeah, you know, it's, I hate to put it like this, but it's almost like it's one and the same. If you go get some lo mein somewhere, it's just like it is anywhere else. There's a joint in Cedar Hill that's okay, but
yeah,
it doesn't
that's what
just
we were saying.
Knock There's... your socks off. There was one when I was growing up in Wynwood Village,
mm-hmm,
and I don't know the name of it off the top of my head, but it was really, really good.
And, yeah.
And we'd roll over there and get a little beef broccoli and other
things.
Oh,
man. There was a place that we used to go to when I lived in Lake Highlands called Bobo China on, mm-hmm, Plano and Church, and it was the Tiates back in the day, and I don't know what it's like anymore, but it was awesome, and I may have to go over there, and I don't even know if it's, I guess it's still open.
There's one on 635, too.
It's what now?
There's a Bobo China on 635
also.
Yeah,
635 in Plano Road. It's right there over in kind of North Lake Highlands.
Hey,
right.
It doesn't look like it'd be good.
Hey, Michael, a little project for you. Before the end of the segment, why don't you Yelp Chinese food in Dallas and tell us what the highest rated place is.
It'll probably be like P.F. Chang's.
Right.
In our chain restaurant-minded ways.
And yeah, and that's all good. But, man, you're right. When you roll, like, we used to get out of school and go to the gas station to get these big Frito pies, man. Mm-hmm. And you don't eat lunch the whole day. So when you get out of school, you have your lunch money, and you go get this Frito pie at the gas station, and you have chili just rolling down your face. It's so good. Those days are gone, man.
Yeah.
You want the big white styrofoam container of Chinese food that weighs like 10
pounds.
Yes,
and right, it's just loaded with MSG and, and brown sauce.
And if you tilt it just a little bit, all the juice runs out.
Yeah, they
you
have to wrap it in saran wrap.
Right,
yeah,
right. You want that, no doubt about it.
Now, I wasn't joking earlier, and I personally have done this, but I guarantee you I know Donovan has had catfish at a gas station.
No doubt.
And I'm telling you, the best catfish I ever had was when David Robinson also used to work at the station, and mm-hmm, he brought up some, and I can't remember where it was from, but he lives down there near the barber shop in the Oak Cliff area,
right?
He brought up some from some gas station, and I swear to God, it was the absolute best catfish I've ever had in my life.
Man, I know there's a little hole-in-the-wall place, Catfish Floyd's, that's right by my mom.
I think that's what it was.
My mom's. Yep. That is absolutely awesome, Catfish Floyd's is, man. And it's just, I'm going tonight.
Yeah, are you really?
You can't talk about it and not go. You have to.
One of my favorite shows is Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives because he goes to all those roadside places, mm-hmm, like that.
Yeah, you know what?
Guy Fieri kind of gets on my nerves.
Oh, he's a beatdown to watch eat.
Yeah, when he does the
hunt. I hate watching that dude eat.
Right.
But that show is genius. They go to so many awesome places, and I sit there with my mouth open and just drool coming down my face.
Laying in bed at like 2:30 in the morning,
thinking
watching this
about
guy
food.
Eat.
Yeah, I was so upset. I saw one like a couple weeks ago. He was in San Antonio,
mm-hmm,
and it was some little boy. It was, you want to talk about a dive? It was a dive. But that food looked so good, and I was like, damn it, where's training camp when you need it?
Yeah, no doubt.
I wanted to see that before we went down there so I could check it out.
So good restaurants in the hood. I mean, we've heard all about Wingfields. Is that still really one of the best burgers?
Dude, Wingfields is unbelievable. If you go on a Saturday,
uh-huh.
they will tell you that, okay,
they'll run out of meat, won't they?
Yeah.
And have to close the place.
It's an hour wait. And
yeah.
you're saying, an hour wait? There's nobody in here. People will call, and it's just...
Now, does Norma's count? Or is that too white bread?
Nah, man, I eat at Norma's a lot, like once a week, and it ain't white bread. It is
right.
not white bread. You,
does the hood claim it, though?
Should.
Yeah, it does. The
should.
Hood claims it. There's a...
Now, I know that it's gotten a little crackery around Norma's since the...
Yeah,
the,
Bishop Arts crackered it up.
Yeah, crackered it up a little bit. But I'm telling you, you go in there on a Saturday or Sunday for lunch, and if you're white, you are the decided minority. It is African-American families
that's
and, the,
right,
and,
man.
The, and the Mexican.
Food
they
is
love,
food.
Loves them some Norma's. Norma's is, I swear to God, I could eat every meal at Norma's for the rest of my life, and I would be completely thrilled with that.
Food brings
Oak Cliff
the
is
races
a,
together.
Oak Cliff is a trip, because it's like a whole different city. I mean, if you are used to I-75 Dallas, whether you're east or west,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't ever spend time in Oak Cliff, and then you go down and spend time in Oak Cliff, it's seriously feels like you're in a totally different city.
Yeah.
A different part of the country.
I love it. I love it down
it's
there.
It's awesome.
It's really cool. There's some great places down there, man. But, yeah, Norma's is the bizom.
Dave?
I love food.
Yes, Michael.
I want to marry food.
Is your research project complete?
It
is.
I put food inside me. Yeah, what are we hearing from Yelp on good Chinese?
According to Yelp,
Dallas?
The highest rated Chinese food place in Dallas is Ming Place China Bistro at 5715 Lemon.
Ming's Place?
Ming Place China Bistro.
Lemon and what?
5750?
5715 Lemon. Let me see here.
That's over there. I mean, yeah, like, because Park Place Jaguar is at 5300 Lemon.
Right. Okay. So that is
it's right over there.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
a Lemon and Inwood.
Yeah,
like Lemon and Inwood.
Okay. That's good to know because that's not far from where I live. I could make a jaunt over to Lemon Avenue.
Maybe
and get
you and
some
I need
good...
to have a date at Ming's this week.
Let's do it.
I heard, I've been text Chinatown is the place in Wynwood.
That Chinatown?
Was so, and it's is it not still there anymore?
I don't know. It's been a while
probably
since I've
changed
been
hands
there.
About 10 times.
Now, what's the.
You never know.
What's the famous soul food place in the Cliff? It's like got a. Mike Reiner's always talking about it.
Yeah, it's on Ledbetter. It's
like a female's name. Like
it sure is.
Like Sue Ellen's or
son of a gun.
Lucretia?
No, not Lucretia's.
Is the answer Jesus?
It's Shanae's diner.
What's that back at Studio Central One?
Is the answer Jesus?
No, the answer is not Jesus.
It's killing me because I know exactly what it is, and they give you a ton of food every time you go.
The portions are massive.
It's unreal. God bless America.
Black
I
folks
can't think of the
love,
name of it now.
Black folks
we'll
love
get,
big
we'll
portions.
Get, we'll get
they
credit on that in this
because
break.
You know why? You can pay $10 for the meal, and you can eat on it all day long.
Yeah,
you
take
feel
it
like
home.
You had a bar. You made a bargain.
Is that why? Is that why the brother loves
diabetes?
No, and it's sickle cell. Get it right.
Right, but yeah, get it right, Davey.
What's the damn restaurant Hattie's. Over at Northwest Highway in
Sweet Georgia Brown?
Sweet Georgia Brown's.
That's it.
That's the soul food place that you want to go to.
Yeah, but there's a chicken place. Like, oh, surprise! I know a good chicken place. It is Rudy's, and it's right by the Lancaster Keys Library.
Okay.
If you have any inkling on liking chicken,
well, like, is it a fried chicken rotisserie? What? I'm just asking.
They don't do rotisserie.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Rotisserie.
Hey.
That may be in some other parts of Oak Cliff that have
some of my favorite chicken in the world. It's Cowboy Chicken on Greenville Avenue across from Old Town. Cowboy Chicken, the most delicious rotisserie chicken ever.
Is Williams Chicken legit? I know they're kind of a chain. They have like a handful of locations.
It used to be, right?
It used to be legit because of the price.
Yeah.
Now I think they've raised their prices up a little bit and people are kind of going away from that. But Rudy's.
You can get like a thigh and a jalapeno
you get like
and a piece
a nine,
of bread
yeah,
for like 32 cents.
I just want that.
But Rudy's Chicken, right next to Lancaster Keys Library, if you go any particular time, you won't be able to get down the street.
Really?
Because it's so crowded, and it is so good. My dad and I went one time, and guys were in front of us. We went to the window, not the drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
and they just got it out the grease. They gave it to the guys, and they couldn't even wait till they got home. They put the chicken on top of their car. They unwrapped it, and it was so hot. But they kept eating it, right?
Just washing it down with Fanta.
Calm down. The chicken's going to be there when you get it home. But that's really, really good chicken.
Man, I would love at some point for you to take me around to some of the good places.
I want a sock ride along.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I would love to do that.
Anytime, man. We'll roll out and I'll show you.
Now, I don't want to go to the Cheesecake Factory. I've already been there.
No, see, and I like your style, Danny, because when I tried to get I made a Tupac CD for Mike Reiner.
Yes.
And you said, look, I don't want any of that crap. I want the good crap. I want the good underground, non-commercial Tupac.
Yes, I want the stuff that you would pick, not the stuff that I probably already heard.
All right, see, I like that. So I'll take you around.
Okay, we'll listen to Tupac.
And we'll get
some chicken.
We'll go to Good Luck and get you a Link Basket.
Yes.
We'll go to Rudy's to get some chicken. We'll go to Catfish Floyd's to get you some catfish. Mm-hmm. Sweet Georgia Brown's.
We'll go to the barber shop, get a haircut.
Then we'll go to the fair.
Yeah. And
get a Fletcher's Corny Dog.
And then we'll go to the barber shop and I'll get a nice fade.
We'll get you a nice Jerry curl. And then everything will be all right.
All right. That sounds
awesome.
I love you so much, Donovan.
I love you more.
I want to do a show with you one day in the future.
I say we do.
We just did.
Oh, well, let's do it again sometime.
Let's do an entire show. I want to sit in with the orphanage one time.
You can anytime.
No, you say that, but no, I want
an open invitation. Our show is stupid. No one cares about our show.
Have you heard it?
I love this show. That's what I'm talking about. I want to be a part of this show one Saturday.
Anytime.
All right.
We'll book it.
I want to take you up on that. So when I walk in, I don't want you guys to start whispering, what is she doing here?
Are you kidding me?
What the hell?
Our ratings would triple if you were on it.
All right, we're late,
and we got to talk to Dang McDowell.
Yeah, try and send somebody over here, would you?
Yeah,
please?
If you see Dan or Junior, we'd love to visit with them.
You're welcome to stick around if those guys are too good for us.
We can tell you about all the cool white places to go to.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be dandy.
That may be coming up next on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
It's 12:41 on The Ticket. This is The Orphanage, Dave and Danny. We're ordinarily 10 to noon on Saturdays.
We're going
today,
all day. All day.
No, today we're going to 105.
Okay.
And then the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD and then TCU SMU. And we're at Barktoberfest, the annual event benefiting the Fort Wolf Dog Park. And it's brought to you by Man's Best Friend, Taylor's Gift, and Cadillac Escalade. And as I mentioned before, the Cavalcade of Stars has begun.
I'm actually nervous.
We just had Donnie on. Oh, by the way, you might want to read that. We missed last hour.
Everybody's playing Yahtzee at Southwest Airlines. Let them fly at southwest.com/Yahtzee for a chance to win 1 million Rapid Rewards bonus points.
So, yes, we are joined now by two of the biggest stars The Ticket has to offer, Dan McDowell and Craig Miller.
Pound for pound, my favorite Ticket radio personalities.
Oh, you say that to everybody.
No, I only said that to you and Dan.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. I think these are, Dan and Junior are the two biggest smartasses at the station.
They're the snarkiest.
Yeah. Dan, in a more hateable way, Junior, in a more stealthy way. Junior says the things that you're thinking that you're afraid to say, where Dan
says the things that you're afraid to think.
Right.
All right.
That's very interesting.
Diagram.
Yeah, I like that. I think I like that.
And you guys, pound for pound, are my favorite orphanage hosts.
Thank you.
By a mile.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and a privilege to have you both on The Ticket.
How's the show going?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Why?
You heard it?
We've talked about absolutely nothing today.
We had Corby on for an entire hour talking about pornography.
Yeah, we got yelled at for the phrase, Owen Wilson's gay herpes.
Yeah.
Who yelled at you?
Corby. Oh, who yelled out?
One of the face painter ladies.
Yeah. Oh, really?
She said she came up. Well, she didn't yell at us. She yelled at Wayne, our engineer, one of our crack-staffed engineers, and said, Jesus is not happy with you right now.
Really?
You know.
Like, really? When is he ever happy with any of us? If he can see the shameful things we do in the dead of night alone.
So is that why the program is no longer on the loudspeakers?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Good move.
Thanks. Yeah.
So they've decided The ticket has decided the ticket is too raw for this event.
Yeah. For a ticket event.
Right.
It's well, this is a very family-friendly event, in theory.
Yes.
So we're trying to keep it clean. And one of the big events is yet to come. Did you know that at 1 o'clock, the dog costume contest is happening right out there?
Well, I see a basket full of winners.
That's Hi, very
puppies!
Exciting.
Yeah, there's a Mexican blanket wrapped around a stroller with four chihuahuas dressed in Mexican blankets and sombreros.
And they're just adorbs.
I don't want to brag, but I was the master of ceremonies for the costume contest last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What an honor. Why
and
were you?
It is. It is very entertaining.
Yeah.
I like the contest. People go all out.
Yeah. It's a shame they didn't have you back this year.
I'm okay with that.
Are you like a Billy Crystal? You're a little bit bitter, but you're trying to downplay it.
Yeah, and I understand I can't do it every year. They need some variety, some new blood.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how good I may have been last year, it's time to change it up. Who is the MC this year?
I don't know.
I think they went with younger. Mm. Yeah.
I got to get used
Maybe
to
more
that.
Ethnic.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
They're trying to appeal to a different demographic
this
year.
I think Lil Wayne is actually hosting the costume contest.
Okay.
But I appreciate the fact that you didn't want to brag about it. You just,
yeah.
you know, kind of brought it up comfortably as to not offend us or make us feel small.
I hope I didn't offend you.
No.
Okay.
Do you feel there's a lighter attendance here this year?
It was heavier and earlier, I think.
I thought it was because this snuck up on all of us. I didn't really know until last week this was going to occur. Usually, isn't it later in October usually?
I don't know.
You know
I just know that the weather is perfect today.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You are correct.
There's
well, you
Norm
know,
and the gorilla cane.
There's an awful
the
lot.
That's a hippo cane.
There's a lot going on this weekend in terms of distractions
yes.
that may
Is
have
there?
Taken away from the crowd here at Bark. In other words, Barktoberfest probably in the pecking order is behind Rangers, Cowboys, Death Star, A&M, yeah.
Arkansas,
TCU, SMU, State Fair.
Mm-hmm.
It might be. I don't know that it is.
There's a lot.
You're saying that this is the sixth, maybe seventh most important event in the Metroplex this weekend behind the Fort Worth Music Festival.
Yes, there's
and
that
all those
as well.
Sporting events and the opening weekend of the State Fair.
I'm saying it may be.
Okay. We don't want to undersell this event because it's awesome.
Oh, it's great.
Does anyone really like the State Fair?
Donovan.
Or is that just a bit because
I like it.
You grew up with it and you have to go because you did it when you were a kid?
I never
like,
went as a child.
Isn't it disgusting?
I never went as a child, but I like it as an adult.
Hey, I'll take every opportunity to rip it. I don't get it. There's nothing to it.
It's great people watching and the food is good.
It's expensive as hell and all the rides are specifically designed to make you puke. All of them.
But you don't have to ride any rides or play any carny games.
Well, why
just
would
go,
you go?
Then yeah,
drink,
then why do you go?
Drink beer,
can do
eat
that
corny
at home.
Dogs.
I can make those at home.
Take it in. You go to take in the scene and support your state.
Is that what it is? Yeah, I'm supporting my state.
Maybe
I think.
Do you
and
buy
look,
like a...
And look at livestock.
Yeah, do you buy a goat or do they raise goats?
Yeah,
you can buy a goat
at the fair.
Yeah, don't you buy things at the fair? Like
you
raise them to take it to the fair to sell it.
Yeah.
So
I guess so.
Could I buy a cow and slaughter it?
You could.
Yeah, right yes. there as soon as you hand over
I don't
the
know.
Check.
In front you of take it home.
Take out a machete and slit its throat. Its throat.
You take it
like
home
Like an apocalypse
eat.
Now.
Or could you just buy a cow and have it eat? Would it eat your grass and keep it level, and you wouldn't have to have a lawnmower?
I think you'd probably want a goat rather than a cow for that.
So it might be a little patchy, but it would probably work.
Mm-hmm. And then doesn't the goat eat garbage, too?
It will.
Non-recyclables?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just throw your coffee grounds and your banana peels out in the backyard.
Can you just own a goat and just have it hang out?
Probably depends
at your
on
house.
Your homeowners association.
I had three really good friends that shared a house together. You were over
I
there.
I was over
they
there.
Owned, they owned a goat.
And that goat was
Boy.
Mean.
That goat was mean as hell.
Sounds
really?
Like,
yeah.
Sounds like a bad existence for the goat.
Yeah.
Three guys.
Three dudes living in a house over next to Mark Cuban.
Right.
And they had a goat.
A
in their
rickety
backyard.
Old Preston Hollow home that was just waiting
it was,
to be torn down.
Well, it was. They were finishing out their lease, and when they got done with the lease, they demolished the house and started over from scratch. But they had a goat that came with the house. When they moved in, it's like, oh, by the way.
They're renting?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, there's a goat out back. Y'all are going to have to feed it.
They're probably like that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
look,
so they,
I'm just a goat.
It ate sheet music. Yeah, I remember one night my friend went out in the back and just started tearing sheet music out of a Grateful Dead songbook.
So
and
it really does just eat anything, huh?
Yes, yes.
So it wouldn't eat any other kind of paper, only sheet music?
Only Grateful Dead sheet music,
wow.
Yes.
That's
very,
very,
very particular.
Yeah, so do they still live with it? How did this story end?
What happened to the goat when they tore the house down?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Is there like a goat rescue shelter?
Yes.
Somewhere?
Yes.
Around town?
Yeah, I think we're doing a benefit with the
are
orphanage.
Are we going to have a...
Goat-toberfest.
Goat-toberfest. It's just that
how
one
many
goat.
Would, how many would that draw? Would that be less attended than today?
Goat-toberfest?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Do you eat goat?
Yeah.
Can you eat goat?
Oh, yeah.
Cabrito.
Cabrito.
Goat and cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You
goat
can get
milk.
Goat milk for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only
just
if
go
you
out
have a female goat.
With your coffee in the morning and kind of stick it under there?
Yeah, why not?
Squeeze a...
Make sure it's the female.
Yeah.
You get a different kind of milk.
It takes longer to squeeze the
That's what
the
I was
one.
Alluding to, Junior.
You get a little bit of a...
Because it would be the male.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a heavier cream.
Oh, my God.
Right.
A little not as sweet.
Right.
So well, I've
more
been
of a,
told...
More of a savory.
Yeah.
So I've been told.
Yeah. Why does my coffee taste like bleach? It's 12:50 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. We have to take a break.
Yes, we do. We're
Why?
Gonna...
Oh, man.
Why?
We got one more segment.
But this was such a good segment.
I know, but you're
going
to
top it next.
Football and Dan's, you know, he's got to
well,
go.
No, I want them to stay.
Oh, okay.
But
I do,
We have one more segment, and then we'll press play.
Who's
on the
next show?
No, we press play on the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD.
Wait, no, it's live. He does
no,
that show
not.
Live. Yeah,
no, he doesn't. No.
Can we
no.
do
he
it a
Tuesday?
A ticket 1310 theater and just talk over it.
Right.
Make fun
commentary.
Of
commentary.
He would be so bitter.
Oh my God,
so bitter. Oh my gosh.
The Dick Hicks watching party.
Yeah.
All right, so that's next.
Okay.
On the ticket.
All right.
It's 1 o'clock on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. This is the Orphanage wrapping up from Barktoberfest. It's brought to you by Man's Best Friend, Taylor's Gift, and Cadillac Escalade. Fort Wolf Dog Park is it's open year-round, and this event goes until 2. And we encourage you to come out and support Fort Wolf Dog Park. They're taking donations at the gate. And it's right off of I-30 at Beach Street. And here in this final segment, we are once again joined by Dan McDowell and Craig Miller. We were just having an off-air discussion about... the possibility of different styles of bicycles or vehicles competing in the Tour de France.
Seems like you've actually thought of this, Craig. You had some quick answers as to whether a big wheel could make it.
Yeah, unicycle, no. Big wheel, no.
Green machine,
no.
Wouldn't just about everybody answer quickly to big wheel and the Tour?
Well, you had some real facts, though, that it wouldn't pass the time.
But you still haven't answered recumbent bike
could,
or tandem bike.
No, you can never do it on any of those because, first of all, there's a time cutoff every day. So you got to finish like within 20% of the winner's time or 10% of the winner's time or something.
What about
so
that
the big
bike?
Wheel, you'd be out after day one.
What about the 1905 bike with the big giant wheel in the front?
And what was the mindset?
Can you imagine
I never understood that.
I don't
get it. Can
you
imagine doing a descent on one of those?
Oh, my God. Why did they make them that way? Why
Come
did
on,
you have
Craig.
To have that wheel so giant?
I think it's because they didn't have gears back then, so they just thought the bigger the wheel,
the faster you would go.
Because if you pedal the same 60 RPMs, if you had a giant wheel, then
what
you
if,
would go faster,
what
which
if
I guess makes sense.
Yeah.
Everyone in the Tour de France had to ride the big wheel or the big wheel bike or tandems.
It would look like a Monty Python skit. It wouldn't be a good race or a serious race. Everybody would be going 1 mile an hour and quitting, throwing things at others.
Drinking.
Yeah.
Well, you redesigned the big wheel a little bit to make it go faster.
Yeah, soup it up a little bit.
Yeah.
They did. It's called a bicycle. I had a big wheel. I think we all did.
That's a humble brag right there.
Yeah, I don't want to brag or anything.
Yeah. I don't want to brag or anything, but my best Christmas was when I got a green machine.
By the way, can I apologize?
Yeah.
I want to apologize to the P1s for last segment bragging about hosting the costume contest here at the Barktoberfest event last year. I just feel like I was scoreboarding everybody.
Yeah, you were very boastful.
Because I was the MC of that event, and I'm sorry.
Look,
if it came across the wrong way, I'm sorry.
Not everybody gets to live the life that you do.
The apology sounds a bit hollow, though. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's clearly only based on after the fact and criticism you've received.
I think you probably need to write an open letter to the Dallas Morning News.
I will. I'll do that.
And it sounded a little crafted, as if you spoke to your people.
Like a press, right. Like a press
your
release.
PR
that, like,
yeah, written
by your lawyer. PR agent wrote it, mm-hmm. and you just signed it.
Fernando, but I suppose...
Fernando wrote it for me.
Do you still hate Fernando?
I love Fernando. It's everybody else that hates Fernando.
Including George.
George hates him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
and
awful.
Gordon hates him, too, right?
Speaking of Gordon, awful. How jealous are you that Gordon's going to be interviewing Steve Martin this weekend?
You know, if I hadn't met Steve last year...
Oh, you did?
When he came through town...
Not
to brag or anything,
right?
For the Steve Canyon Rangers show. Yeah, I don't want to brag or anything, but... Uh-huh. P1 heard that I was this big Steve fan and that I'd never met him, and so he called and said, hey, I've got an extra ticket, and I can get you into the meet and greet. And so I got to shake hands with him, five words with him, turn, take a picture, and then I left.
What did you say?
I remember you told us what you said.
I said, hi, Steve, Craig, nice to meet you. I just want to let you know you've brought a lot of joy to my life or something. I want to thank you for all the joy you brought to my life over the years. And he goes, oh, I'm sure it wasn't joy. And I said, no, it was. Turn, snap, leave.
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't joy.
That's what he said.
Steve Martin way.
So, yeah, if I hadn't met him, I'd be extremely jealous.
Yes, but Gordon's actually going to interface with him.
Has he already done it?
I think he did it yesterday.
Yeah.
Now he's just whining and dining himself in New York without his family there.
He's at Borders signing books or something.
Crazy.
What was that he was doing the other day? Was that a book reading or something? He was at like a...
Half Price Books.
They were having a
banned book discussion.
So they got the literary mind of Gordon to be a part of that?
Yeah.
I was in there the other day, $48 book, $24.
That's half price.
Can you believe that?
That's a great deal, Junior.
Isn't that awesome?
Wow. I was wondering how they got the name of that place.
Yeah.
Well, how many books cost $48?
This one did. It's a coffee table book.
Yeah. A book on coffee tables.
And it have the legs that came out and made it into a coffee
table? You know
what?
Did. I apologize for scoreboarding everybody for getting that book half off.
Actually, anybody can do it.
Clearly a response to criticism, apology.
We regret to the P1s that we're going to have to go. We apologize for bailing out from Barktoberfest, but we want to thank Craig Miller and Dan McDowell and Corby Davidson and
I don't
want to
brag.
Lewis.
I'm about to go judge.
Oh,
are you?
Really? Costume contest.
Dan,
you're my replacement.
Hold on, let me look at Twitter. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize for bragging about judging the costume contest, but I'm not your replacement. That's the black guy.
Donovan is?
Donovan?
Yeah.
Well, he's gonna be like a hype man out there, trying to get the crowd all fired up.
Yeah.
Good times. So
I guess.
All right. So
did you want us to take it or
no? We're gonna step away, and then back at the mothership, they're going to press play on the Dick Hicks NASCAR CD. But stay tuned after that for SMU TCU from Barktoberfest at Fort Wolf Dog Park. Thank you, Danny, for fighting through traffic and making it here.
You're welcome.
Oh, look at her. Oh yeah.
Stay tuned on the ticket for stuff.
Dress that dog up.
Bend over.